WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Choreographer Elizabeth Streb calls her performance pieces pop action. They're part dance, part gymnastics, part circuits performance, and part pure daredevil. Her troupe called Streb Ringside engage in heart-stopping, gravity-defying feats as they hurl themselves through space, move in elaborate patterns and harnesses attached to scaffolding, bounce off of trampolines, and crash into surfaces, creating a high-energy kaleidoscope of sound and shape. Streb believes that her work should be very accessible. She makes rehearsals open to the public and performs in very public spaces like shopping malls and off the side of the Brooklyn Bridge. Elizabeth Streb founded her company in the mid-80s after realizing that her approach to dance and movement didn't fit the dance scene of the day. I asked her what was missing.
What was missing was the thrust of the action, the velocity, the impact, the experience of movement, in short. I didn't feel that I even felt anything happening to my body when I would train.
It wasn't demanding enough? You didn't feel the movements enough?
Well, it was demanding in a different sort of way. Like, it was painful because the balletic form really stretched and pulled your bones and your muscles all around. So it's not that it wasn't physically demanding, but it was not demanding in a way that I had been acquainted with action in the past. And I was obsessed with action from the time I was very, very young. But the kind of action that goes very fast downhill on skis.
Okay, I was going to say, what kind of action are we talking about, Elizabeth?
Or watching accidental movements of people everywhere, or going to a rodeo or a bullfight, which I did once, or watching boxing, or even in the circus. That's what I thought action was. And I thought dance was going to be the art of movement.
You call your work pop action. It's not dance. It's not performance art. How would you describe to the uninitiated what pop action is?
Okay. Well, it comes from really a formal investigation that's gone on over about a 20-year period. And pop action is really what you see when you sit in a seat and watch what we do. It describes bodies that literally are flying through the air and doing that by popping their muscles and not utilizing the normal transitions that dance traditionally engages in, like the transfer of weight skeletally from one foot to another. If we want to get off the stage, we just fly off the stage. And if that doesn't work, then we just disappear.
You're interested then in pushing the body. We'll get to the mind, but in pushing the body beyond what seems like a normal limit, even for a dancer?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, I want the dancer. The dancer themselves has to have this thirst that is really beyond beyond a normal thirst for the investigation of the outer regions of what they're capable of physically. And the general premise is nothing is physically impossible, absolutely nothing. So I want them, when I ask them to do different things, to just go, yeah, that's possible, yeah, that's possible. One time I asked a dancer, do you think that when you do a flip, another dancer could dive through the center of the space that flip doesn't occupy, you know, which requires really perfect aim and millisecond timing. And they just go, well, yes, I think I can do it, but we have to figure it out.
And did they?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. But it took us about a month to figure that one out.
Do your dancers get hurt a lot?
I don't think that they get hurt a lot. I think that the stakes are a lot higher when they miss a move. So, for instance, if somebody crashes, it's pretty serious because of the fact of the high impact and the hard surfaces.
What then is a practice routine like? If you're working on a particular piece and literally starting from scratch, and maybe Up is a good one to talk about. This is one of your newer pieces. It's a trampoline parallel bar. You have six dancers. Take us, I guess, through the steps of preparation.
Okay, that's a good one because, I mean, in fact, for some unknown reason, this dance has created more injuries than any other dance I've ever done in the last 20 years. And part of it is it starts with a trampoline, which I like to call a surface exploder. And I actually did a lot of research, and it's a hotbed, and I bought it in Australia, and they shipped it here. And there aren't a lot like it. In fact, when a tramp expert came in our studio to give us some drills, he said he wouldn't work on that tramp bed.
Really?
It sprung so tight that there's no hot spot in the center. The whole thing is a hot spot. So we started bouncing on it. And to me, the idea was very simple. It was, excuse me, I was trying to emphasize the direction up, because that, I thought, in the general course of the dance history, that's a direction that had been left out pretty seriously. So I thought that this would be a piece of equipment that would allow me to get into that space, which is a lot of how I decide what I'm going to do next. Then we banked on both sides of this tramp two scaffold towers. And then to connect the scaffold towers 10 feet above the bed, we put two parallel pipes. So what happens is the dancers jump off and on, and there's six of them, this tramp bed, and they either go back to the landing that they jumped off of, the scaffold tower, or they go up to the pipes, or they dive off in kind of a bevel dive and land on their stomach off the tramp on these pole vaulting pits that we have on both the upstage and downstage side of the tramp. So there's a lot of different ways they can both enter and exit. But the most complicated and dangerous part of this dance is that you can only have one person at a time hitting that tramp bed, and there's six people. So a lot of the actions have four or five people involved. While one's in the air, the other's on the bed, or one's a little bit further in the air or up to the pipes. And the problem is, if their timing gets off, I mean at all, one person jumps on the bed at the same time as another person, that one person gets their jump shot. That's an expression in trampolining. And that means that they exponentially get thrust off that tramp bed in a direction that's not predictable. And it's not over till it's over, and it's usually not very pretty.
Looking at your work, I'm reminded of the one and only time I ever rappelled off a cliff.
You only did it once?
I only did it once.
Once is enough.
And I stood terrified at the top of the cliff, just right at the very edge of the cliff, and just terrified of taking that one step backwards.
Oh, yeah.
The whole world was going to flip on its side.
Right.
And yet when I finally did that, I had this sense of excitement and exhilaration that I've rarely ever felt. Is that what you're looking for with your dancers?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's a perfect explanation. It's like going backwards and slightly upside down is all the bells go off in your mind. No, don't do that. You know, you really have to fight what we call breakthrough, the kind of anti-intuitive zone, to really make yourself do that. But that kind of exhilaration and that kind of cathartic event we experience every day. And I really believe it's like discovering the fountain of youth. You know, if you're willing to do that, you really will never die on some level.
How do you encourage your dancers who feel scared at that moment?
It's a good question. I mean, a lot of people ask us, how do we deal with fear, or are we simply not scared? And it's not true that we're not scared. Even I, who've been doing it the longest, am pretty terrified right before a performance or right before I have to actually go do a move. And I think that when I get different dancers, though, are terrified of different moments. Like some dancer just doesn't want to go upside down on the trampoline and land on their feet because they're afraid they're going to hit the bed of the tramp on their heads. And they I can tell they're scared because, you know, I can see it in their eyes. And what we do then is just break down the moves and take it step by step by step. It actually isn't okay if no one ever really says, I won't do this. They do. I try and encourage them to say, I'm scared. And when they say I'm scared, then we all kind of work, especially the ones that have been scared too, but accomplished the move. We work at breaking it down. And then in the end, I have to say to them, you know, you just have to do it. Just do it. You're going to find out that it's not so bad.
But once you've dissected the move then and they've mastered all the various parts of it, it's easier to put it all together.
A little easier, but to tell you the truth, physically, I don't think it helps at all. I think it's more about them feeling like they're prepared. It's almost a ritual that they need to go through to then do it. But to me, I never think breaking down a move gives you any extra physical information about that move, because it's not at all like the animal it has to be to actually just do it in time and space the way it needs to be accomplished.
Well, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to talk some more. And Elizabeth Streb is our guest. She's a choreographer and founder of Streb Ringside. And I guess for lack of a better word, it's a dance troupe. And she's talking to us about her work. We'll be back after a very short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Elizabeth Streb, and she's a choreographer and founder of Streb Ringside. Were you interested in dance as a young girl? Was this something that goes way, way back?
I kind of hate dance. You know, I hated dance back then, and I kind of don't like it now in terms of how it exists as a tradition. I wasn't enamored at all like some young girls were. I was more an athlete, and I was interested in being a professional basketball player. Or, I mean, I was really going to college to be a PE teacher because that was the only thing available in the 60s. But then I saw dance, and I was a visual artist. I could draw very well, and I was very involved in art. And I thought that dance would be a great combination of those two things. I found out that the tradition of dance is really, movement is not really the subject in the tradition of dance.
What then is it about?
Right. To me, and this is my opinion purely, but to me, dance exists in three separate zones. One is it believes traditionally that it is able to express emotion. So it's expressionistic. I don't believe that it does that, that movement does that very well. It also deals very, very, very deeply with its relationship to music, almost in a way that is plagiaristic, I believe. And it relates to music more in a way than it relates to movement. And the other thing it attempts to do is create the semblance of relationship, quote-unquote, relationships on stage between people, between groups. And I think that that happens naturally, but to impose that as a prerogative before you start a piece also, I feel, is a kind of a tacked-on kind of thing. And I think that for me, as I've investigated action, and part of my job in being a choreographer, I think, is to look at the field and figure out what is the best thing that discipline can do. Like with words, it can tell a story. I agree with that. But with movement, I think the best thing movement can do is to be itself.
Well, you have some solo pieces.
Right.
When you're choreographing for yourself, and obviously knowing your body as well as you possibly can, what are you trying to then express with your body and the solo pieces that you do?
Well, I think that the one solo piece I'm doing right now is called Little Ease, and I do a dance in a box. A box that's about as big as the space I already occupy. And it's not, I don't believe that people watching, that I can control their response. I don't think even a literal narrative story can say for sure what the audience is going to get out of that story, literally speaking. But I think that what I'm trying to do is wake up people's movement memories, the muscle, all the historical physical experiences that lie within the cells of every person's body. If I can hit the right juxtaposition of time, space, and physicality, I feel like these are like poignant moments that exist almost as archetypes, movement archetypes. And if I'm accurate and articulate enough in the moves I'm doing and how I construct the order of those moves, I feel like an audience responds, a human responds, because they go, oh, I remember that. It's not literal. It's not like, maybe it's a moment when they were five and they were walking down a grassy slope with leaves on it and they slipped and hit, you know, I don't know what exactly it would be, but it would get their attention because it would remind them of something that's familiar. And all of those things strung together end up being some sort of a recognition, a series of recognitions that's what I'm trying to elicit from the audience, a memory of physicality.
And you're talking about a body memory, a memory that's embedded in the body?
In the muscles. It's not something in your mind that you can, it's like, you know how smell operates?
Absolutely.
It's even less literal than smell, but it's there and it's really deep and it's really powerful.
You're 45 now.
I'm 45, yeah.
Do you have the same kind of strength, balance, even flexibility of a decade ago?
Well, gee, I don't know. I mean, part of the thing is I don't remember a decade ago. It's a good thing amnesia sets in after a certain point. But I still dance in the work. And although I am not in the trampoline dance and I don't do the more rigorous things, I feel that for a dancer my age, I should have a lot more chronic injuries than I do. I think my body's holding together really well. My mind that's going. No, I'm kidding.
Well, why do you think your body has held up so well? Good genes or literally this comes out of the kind of work that you've done?
I think it's a combination. I mean, I've had a very strong body. I've not had problems physically. Thank the Lord that I haven't. But I think that I started weightlifting. I mean, I've taken ballet for 20 years, but I started weightlifting about 10 years ago, and I think that it, right at the nick of time when probably my joints would have started to break down, I started to build up kind of the muscles around the joints and get my muscles to be as powerful at least as my bones. You know, I'm trying to, it's a huge race to osteoporosis. You know, if I get my muscles to turn into gristle before my bones start to shatter, then I can hold together, and I kind of think that's what's happening.
Well, Elizabeth Streb, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's choreographer-dancer Elizabeth Streb. Her troupe, Elizabeth Streb Ringside, is performing at the Joyce Theater in New York City for 3 weeks, beginning December 12th.